been watching politics in this state for decades and decades. He also helped us understand Brexit, because Glenn got this great job. He went off to the UK and worked there for several months, testing the waters, trying to find out, well, what are people thinking regarding Brexit? And then when he came back to Adelaide, he was able to explain to us all the strife that the UK has got itself into over the last few years. But he's returned, and he's going to explain to us some of our state election hotspots. And we're going to begin with the town of Port Pirie and also its sister city of Port Augusta. Good morning, Clem McIntyre.
Good morning, David Bevan.
Now, Clem, the story here is that we've got this seat of Frome, which until recently included Port Pirie, but then it stretched down into the Clare Valley, didn't it? And that's what Jeff Brock, former mayor of Port Pirie, was able to win off the Liberals, and he's been sitting there as an independent ever since. But things are changing. Explain to us what's going to happen.
Well, David, as you will know, at the end of, or after every election, by law, there is a compulsory redistribution of boundaries so that we keep roughly the same number of voters in each of the 47 divisions that elect members to the lower house. And if there's any population moves, then you need to move the boundaries round so that the populations are rebalanced across those 47 as equally as possible. And the seat of Flinders out on the west coast was losing population relative to the rest of the state, and that meant some people had to be moved from the adjoining seat into Flinders, and that, you know, like dominoes falling, each movement of people necessitates changes in other areas. And Frome has moved very considerably. Frome, as you said, used to go from Port Pirie stretching down to sort of southeast towards the Clare. The new boundaries have sort of repositioned it a bit, pushed it away from Port Pirie and further west in the north, and then down towards the top of the Gulf in the south. So it sort of runs, northwest, southeast now, rather than the other way around. But critically for Jeff Brock, the city of Port Pirie will now be in the seat of Stewart, the adjoining seat of Stewart. And Port Pirie was the stronghold of Jeff Brock. Of course, he was mayor there for a while. And his ability to hold, to win and hold Frome really depended upon a very large level of support from Port Pirie. Now, if Port Pirie's in a different seat, Jeff Brock's got a choice of trying to win over the new voters in the old seat of, you know, in what has now become the new Frome, or jump into the adjoining seat of Stewart, where his strongest base is, and try and win that.
And that's not an unreasonable thing, because Jeff Brock has never made any secret that while he's done his best, I'm sure, to represent the entire seat of Frome, his power base, his strongest support has always been in Port Pirie. That's where he began his career. So it's not unreasonable for him to say, no. Well, look, you can change the names, but a rose by any other name smells a sweet. I represent Port Pirie. That's where I'm going.
Yes, and if you look at the last election, for example, in the booths in Port Pirie, Jeff Brock was winning 76-80% of the
really?
Two-party preferred vote.
He's that popular in Port Pirie.
He's that popular in Port Pirie, and he's not got the same levels of support further south in around the Clare and so on. So it's not an unreasonable position for him to say, well, as you said, Port Pirie is my base, my heartland, and I want to represent the people there, and that means jumping to become a candidate to Stewart. Now, Stewart will be a very different challenge for him. Stewart's a huge seat that stretches out towards the Victoria-New South Wales border, and just comes into the top of the top of the Gulf, and takes him, Port Pirie, now half of Port Augusta. So it's a different community he's going to be representing, and it's traditionally a very strong Liberal seat. I think at the last election, Dan Van Hulst-Pellacan won something like about 70% of the primary vote before preferences distributed, and 73-74% of the vote after preferences. So it's a hugely strong Liberal seat.
Now, just to put this in some context, Clem McIntyre, when we talk about seats like this, we should remember that it was Jeff Brock's negotiations with Jay Weatherill a few years ago that gave Labor another 4 years in government. So there was that famous incident where Jay Weatherill got in the car, drove up to to Port Pirie, they had a pizza, and they cut a deal. The great pizza negotiation. So on such things, governments rise and fall.
They can do. I was in the 2014 election, Labor with an absolute majority. It needed support from one or more of the independents, and Jeff Brock was very quickly the focus of attention by Jay Weatherill, and beat Stephen Marshall too in some senses. Okay. And then Jeff Brock, of course, served in the Labor cabinet for that 2014 to 18 parliament.
So Frome can expect to go to the Liberals. It'll go back to the Liberals. It used to be a safe Liberal seat. The former
it was Rob Kerrin's seat, of course, the former Liberal Premier. And if you look at the 2018 election and redistribute preferences basically between Labor and Liberal, in other words, take Jeff Brock out of the equation, as it were, then it's notionally about a 60-40 seat Liberal, 60% Liberal, 40% Labor. The new boundaries make it even stronger for the Liberals. So I think Frome is most likely to go back to the Liberal Party if Jeff Brock doesn't stand in that. And Stewart, we have to wait and see just how that plays out, because, as I said, it'll be a challenge for Jeff Brock, but he's got a huge support base in Port Pirie to take with him.
OK, so this becomes a numbers game. If Jeff Brock, and he's confirmed, he's now going to go up to Stewart, that means Frome will almost certainly fall to the Liberals. So the Liberals pick up a seat. That, you know, great news for Stephen Marshall. They picked up that seat. But if Jeff Brock wins in Stewart, Dan Van Hulst-Pellican, a minister, no less, in the Marshall government, he loses his seat. So it becomes a zero-sum game.
Yes, and South Australia does have a habit of returning reasonably high-profile independents to the state parliament. We've seen that over the last 20 to 30 years. Somebody with either elected as a member of the parliament by as a representative of one of the major parties and then leaving and standing as independent, or, like Jeff Brock, a reasonably high profile locally, is able to win a seat against the odds.
But there's a problem here. Things get more complicated because Stewart, this seat that Brock is now going to contest against Dan Van Hulst-Pellican, that includes Port Augusta, except they haven't given the whole town to Stewart. They've cut Port Augusta in half.
They have cut Port Augusta in half. So half of Port Augusta is in the seat of Giles, and it's the one rural seat that Labor can win on the basis of a strong vote in Port Augusta. And that may make Giles a harder task for Labor, losing some of Port Augusta. Losing some of Port Augusta to the redrawn seat of Stewart.
Yeah. And we're talking about five seats here that's needed to change government. So if Brock wins, we shouldn't take his vote for granted, but it's reasonable to expect, having installed a Labor government previously, that it'd be open to discussions. Much better for Peter Malinauskas that Brock wins than a Liberal, which means that Labor's only going to pick up four seats, and we can discuss those on another day. But they're the sort of numbers that we'll be looking at over the next few months.
Yes, and I think, I wouldn't say that Jeff Brock is a certainty to go to the Labor Party, and I suspect that if we asked him, he'd be saying he'd wait and see what the results were and what the relative strength of both parties were. So as a true independent, he would keep his cards close to his chest like that. But yes, he's got form in the sense of going with Labor in the past, so that can't be discounted. And as you say, it's significantly in Labor's interest for Brock to win Stewart than obviously for the Liberals to win it.
They'll run dead in Stewart.
Well, they could run as hard as they like, but they're not going to win it. No.
Professor Clem McIntyre, thank you for explaining that. Now, why did we choose that seat today? We did that because the good people of Port Pirie have decided to send out a checklist, an election checklist. Leon Stevens is the mayor of Port Pirie, and his council have released a state election platform document. The way I read this is that if you want people in Port Pirie to vote for you, you better start ticking as many of these things off the list as quickly as possible. Good morning, Leon Stevens.
Good morning, David. How are you?
What's on your wish list?
I've got plenty of things on the wish list, and it was quite interesting listening to yourself and Professor Glenn McNally. That was a real good insight of how that seat is sort of split up a little bit now, and actually looks a little bit odd when you start looking at half of a city.
Poor old Port Augusta, you wouldn't know where you are. Well, you wouldn't know if you're Arthur or Martha up there. But anyway, half of them are in that seat of Stuart, along with all of Port Pirie. What does Port Pirie want, Leon Stevens?
Okay, yeah, well, it's really important to us from the Port Pirie Regional Council's point of view, and we've involved our business community as well, and lots of other members of the public, that we get our messaging succinct going into this election process, and meeting the candidates was something that we could actually put our message forward. We have 9 particular things that we've sent out in regards to what we wish for our community. First one being lead abatement, second water, workforce, housing, childcare facilities, community wellbeing, clinical simulation, hospital upgrades and roads. And so what we want to do is put our message, you know, clearly in the laps of the candidates to say, if you're going to represent us, whoever be the winner, we'll have to work with. We need these things to be, you know, in the fore of your mind, to say that we want you to lobby as hard as you can and bring some of these projects along.
It's interesting you say lead abatement. That's the first thing you mention. We know that lead has been a huge problem for the people of Port Pirie for decades. How much street cred has Jeff Brock got on that issue? I mean, it must be pretty good because he's polling so well over the last few years. But couldn't an opponent say, well, Jeff, you've been the mayor, you've been the local MP, and it's still an issue?
Yeah, well, I guess they could, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, what's happened just recently is that we've done a review through Lou Owens of the targeted lead abatement program, TLAP, and that's actually starting to be rolled out as we speak. But what we need from a particular candidate coming forward is a commitment to TLAP. It's scheduled to finish at 2024. I believe strongly that there's never going to be enough work done from here to there. So we want that to run at least to 2034 so that we can actually get our community sort of cleaned up and on a right path. So, and we have to support the way that NearStar is actually rolling at the moment with its gradual reductions and all that sort of stuff. The EPA last licence fit was giving them a 20% reduction. So that's a pretty hard call when, you know, like I guess any of us were asked to do 20% reduction in, or 20% efficiencies, gain 20% efficiencies in our business. It would take us a little while to get to, but there's been some incredible inroads with that. So I feel that we need to be working with TLAB, with NearStar, Port Pirie Regional Council certainly signing up for that, and the government needs to be on board. We are currently receiving some good support from the government, and we have to ensure that that continues, and we look at, say, perhaps an intergovernmental panel that will give us representatives inside a government looking at our community all the time to make sure that we change the stigma attached to lead.
Leon, I can remember going up to Pirie during the 2010 election campaign, and I've got in my memory that there was a 10 by 10 campaign that referred to the year, but also the other number 10 referred to the amount of lead that would be acceptable. I'm not too sure what the science was behind that, but I think it was 10 by 10. It really is sad that we're still talking about this stuff. It'll be 2022 next year.
Absolutely, and it makes me absolutely furious as the leader of this community. My council have, you know, a complete dedication to getting this sorted, and I believe that we've been strong in sending that message forward. Yes, it has been continuing, and you know, right now I think we've seen Trafigura take over NearStar, what, nearly 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And I can say with hand on hearts, the first time we've had communication with that company through that period.
Yep.
We have never had communications to this level that we are receiving, and to me, that's where it needs to start. We can't be banging the drum and banging our chest all the time. We just need to do the work. and people need to step up to do that. And I believe that, you know, that's why it's number one on my priority to getting us over the line. And, you know, we can't be, you know, bashing the staff at New Star and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that happens. But if we can see improvement, continued improvement, then we're winning the game. And this needs to go on past 2024.
Okay. Well, that checklist has been put together by the Port Pirie Council, and any candidate that wants to be get some traction at the election come March, I imagine they'll be going through it very closely over the next few weeks and months, Leon Stevens, to work out what your council says the people of Port Pirie want from the next election.
Absolutely, David, and you know, and I think it's critical that this document hasn't come easily. We've been through and consulted with our community. So, if you're a candidate coming into this next election and you're not paying attention to those 9 items we have on the list, well, you're obviously not deserving of holding a position.
Leon Stevens, Mayor of Port Pirie, thanks for your time.
Thank you, David, and thank you very much for your follow-up interest in this. And we look forward to perhaps talking again as this unfolds.
I expect that there'll be a lot of interest up that way over the next few months. And thank you very much, Leon Stevens, Mayor of Port Pirie, and before that, Professor Clem McIntyre from the University of Adelaide. Are you a fan of Rosehaven? It's just a lovely, lovely show. After 10 o'clock, we'll be talking to the stars of Rosehaven.